Well, Shabbos. So tonight, God willing, we're starting a little bit of a new mini semester over the next couple weeks. But Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be learning about opening bottles, opening packages on Shabbos. In 2 weeks or in 3 weeks, I guess we'll be learning about cutting birthday cakes, cutting cakes on Shabbos, opening library books on Shabbos, erasing on Shabbos. And then the fourth week, right now on the calendar, it says we're going to be learning about making lemonade on Shabbos and discussing other halachos related to the malacha of dash, of schita, of squeezing. So tonight we're going to introduce the topic of opening bottles and opening packages on Shabbos. Tonight, Shir Shabbi B'Schus Rufu Shalema for Zaman Ben Chana and Yaakov Mordechai Ben Yitaratza B'Soch Sharchole Yisrael. So opening bottles, opening packages, opening cans on Shabbos is a major topic. We're not going to do everything. There's so much to talk about, but I kind of want to give us an overview of the topics to be aware of. The first thing that I want to make note of is that when Rabbi Reish Shlita gave us a chabura when I was in the YU Kolel a bunch of years ago, so Rabbi Reish gave us a shir in my third year on the Kolel. He gave us a shir on opening bottles and packages, etc. And he pointed out at the very beginning that poskim, almost all poskim across the board, recommend opening things before Shabbos. Now, I don't know, maybe we could take a poll in a little bit in terms of bottles and cans and things like that. Who does what? But Rabbi Reish said most poskim actually recommend opening your bottles and containers before Shabbos to avoid all these issues. What exactly are the issues? Well, let's go through it. There's an issue of boneh, which means to build. Okay, so there might be a potential when you open up a new kli, when you open up a box that was sealed. So now you've just created a new box, and that's effectively building on Shabbos. We'll talk about that. There's soser, there's breaking something, right? You break the seal on a container, maybe you just broke the thing. There's asiyas ha-pesach, which means creating a new opening, let's say, creating like a spigot almost, or a spout. And that's related to the malacha of makeh b'patish. Makeh b'patish is almost like boneh's brother, or maybe younger brother, whatever it is. If boneh is building, makeh b'patish is the final hammer blow, right? So whereas boneh might be more of a significant action, makeh b'patish is like the final touches, and that's still problematic on Shabbos. In addition, there's tikkun moneh. Tikkun moneh means to fix something, to create or to allow something to be used when beforehand it was not usable. The example I like to give, because it came up a long time ago with one of my dear chavrusas and my friends, Reb Sam Bellows. When he was a senior in Ida Crown, we were learning together in the Kins Base Medrash. And I remember he asked me a shaila. He said he had multiple watch bands. So let's say you take off your watch band on Shabbos. You want to add a different type of band, you know, accessorize, whatever it is. So once you take off your band, he wanted to know, is it mutter to put on a new band on Shabbos? So we were learning the sugya of Tikkun Moneh, actually, in Maseches Beitzah. That's how this whole thing came up. And we called my Rebbe Rav Neuberger, and Rav Neuberger said that would be an issue of Tikkun Moneh, because once you take your watch band off, so you no longer have a wrist watch, you have a clock, a small one, but a clock nonetheless. Once you put your watch band back on the watch, so now it's a functional wristwatch, and that would be Tikkun Moneh, you're fixing it and making it into a functional kli. That's another potential issue when it comes to opening packages. We have the issue of korea, which means to tear. Are you allowed to tear open a package? Tear open a milk carton, something like that. We have the issue of mechatech. Mechatech means to tear something in a particular size, right? So could it be cutting or opening along the perforations might be an issue of mechatech, again, cutting on a very specific particular size. And then we have the issue of mochek, which means to erase. It could be when you open up something, it could be you're affecting mochek by ripping the letters and basically getting rid of the word that was there. So those are, I think, 7 or 8 issues. Again, we're going to go through each one now just to give the background. But because there's so many issues, right? Just let's say you get out of the woods and there's no issue of boneh or soser or asiyas ha-pesach, so there still might be a korea issue. And because there's so many different issues on hand, so Rabbi Reish noted that many, many poskim say we should try to avoid it. That being said, it's not always realistic. You don't always exactly know what you're going to be using on Shabbos. It could be that guests show up and you need to open more stuff. It could be you weren't planning on going somewhere and you went somewhere. Or someone, you know, there's so many different things that happen. And because of that, you know, we have to see practically what are we allowed to do on Shabbos if we didn't open up things before Shabbos. So let's start at the beginning. Any questions up until here? Everyone with me so far? Okay, I'm going to assume we're good. Again, always feel free to unmute yourself or put something in the chat, and I will try to check it out periodically. So let's go from the beginning. The Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel 73a is one of the most important Mishnayos in the Masechta. Again, every Mishnah is important, but if you're learning the Malachos of Masechta of Shabbos, you're going to look at Daf Ayin Gimel Amar Aleph, where the Mishnah lists all 39 Malachos of Shabbos. So in there, the Mishnah lists Bona and Soser as two different Malachos. Bona is to build, and Soser is to destroy. So the Gemara, well, let's say it like this. The Rambam tells us, what does it mean? How do we define bona? How do we define building? So the Rambam defines building as any form of building, whether it's, you know, you can be mashve gumos. Mashve gumos means to flatten and make the ground leveled, to flatten and make level the ground. You can pile up bricks on top of one another with a little bit of cement. That would be a form of building. Also, again, you don't need to build a skyscraper. You don't need to even have a finished product per se, right? It's either mashve gumos, you're leveling the ground, which enables you, that's a step in the building process, or you're building a wall, and again, you haven't yet put the roof on it, but it's a significant move in the building process. That's how the Rambam defines building. Now, with regards to soser, which it would be to dismantle or destroy on Shabbos, so the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph that soser is only a problem if it's al minas livnos, meaning destroying for the sake of destroying is not an iser d'oraisa. Destroying with the intent to build, that is going to be the iser d'oraisa of soser on Shabbos. Now, this is learned, all malachos really are learned from the malachos in Melechas HaMishkan. And we see from there, when the Jews were traveling in the Midbar, they would dismantle the Midbar. They would dismantle, not the Midbar, excuse me, they did dismantle the Mishkan. They would take down the krushim, the large planks of wood. And each time they moved, it was with the intention to rebuild in their next destination. Now, this was related to last week's parsha when the Torah says, "Alpi Hashem Yachanu, v'alpi Hashem Yisau." The Jewish people would travel when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to. Whenever Hashem said travel, they traveled. Whenever Hashem said camp, they camped. So really, it's only Aser Midaraisa if it's B'makom Echad, meaning the stira, the dismantling, has to be in the place of the rebuilding also. So you break that house, and you want to rebuild the house, and you want to use all the beams and all the bricks to rebuild that exact house. But if you're going to break down the house and then travel to a new location and build it, so maybe that's not Aser. So how could it be? How could it be that we learn out Soser Almanas Livnos in the same exact place from the Mishkan if we were constantly traveling? And the answer is because we were always traveling Alpi Hashem. So it's as if it was almost like the geographical context didn't make a difference. Wherever Hashem said we have to be, that's where we were. So it's as if we were in one location. And there are a lot of nice drushos to make on that, but we're not going to get into that right now. The idea is for us that there's a notion of stira, dismantling, destroying, and it has to be an Isser Daraisa, it has to be Amenas Livnos, right? So you dismantle with the intent to rebuild. Fine. Now, there's a related discussion that's very important for us, and that is whether or not the Malacha of Bona and the Malacha of Soser apply to Kalim. Does it apply to, I was about to say vessels, I feel like no one really uses the vessel. You don't walk into your kitchen and say, oh, I need a vessel. But a utensil, right? So a kalim, a keli, a utensil. So do the malachos of bona and soser, do they apply to kalim? And that's a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Aleph. And Rava over there says, ain binyan vestira bekalim. And that really, if we take that at face value, that's like a huge deal for us, because once we can rely on Rava, then this whole thing shouldn't be such a big issue potentially. You open up a bottle, and now you don't just have a container that holds your seltzer, but now you actually have a functional pitcher or kli to hold and pour your water. But Rava says, ain binyan bekalim, ain stir bekalim, not a big deal at all. But the Gemara, the challenge or the trouble is that the Gemara doesn't qualify what kind of keli are we talking about. All kalim? From the smallest to the largest types of kalim, like what's going on? Right, my wife's grandfather and grandmother are on the Zoom right now, and when they were in Hawaii, stationed in Hawaii in the U.S. Army. So remember, if I'm getting the story correct, you let me know. But he rented out a freezer to store his kosher meat there. Now, if you have a meat freezer, that's going to be a much larger kli than a small little seltzer can or something like that. So what's the deal here? Are we talking about large kalim? Are we talking about small kalim? Does it not make a difference? So Rashi in two different places in Gemara Shabbos says it's giving us a blanket state. It's a blanket rule. All kalim, according to Rava, there's no issue of bona, there's no issue of soser, doesn't apply to kalim whatsoever. However, Tosfos comes along and Tosfos says, whoa, 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 let's pump the brakes on this. Tosfos says that in binyan vestir bekelim is only referring to kelim that are constantly built and then disassembled. You know, like think, we're not going to get into Legos right now, but think a Lego set or something a kid would play with that they build and then they take it apart, and maybe like Magna Tiles, right? All the little kids have Magna Tiles now, right? You build it, you break it, you build it, you break it, not a big deal at all. So that's what we're talking about. There's no issue of bone with something that's going to be taken apart or knocked over in the next 20 minutes, but something that's going to be a larger kli, something that's going to be stable, that's going to stay like that, that's going to be an isser of bone. Fine. So far, let's just make sure we know what we did. We spoke a little bit about bona, a little bit about soser, and then we also related it to the notion of ein binyan vestir bekelim. But let's take a look at a Mishnah that's very, very important for us. The Mishnah in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Mem Vav 146a, tells us the following. Shover adam esachavis, a person may break a barrel, le'echol heimena grogros, ubavad shel yischavin lasos kli. A person is allowed to break open a barrel in order to get let's say the dried figs out of it, as long as he did not, or she didn't have intent to make it into a kli. So what exactly is going on in here? Rashi explains. Rashi tells us, why is this okay? Right? What's the potential issue? Let's understand this for a second. Maybe I'm not being clear. The potential issue is that you have a large kli, you have a barrel. Before, up until you opened it or broke it open, what do you use that barrel for? That's specifically and solely a storage barrel. That's what it's used for. The moment you break that top off, it is no longer just a place for storage, for holding onto your fruit or whatever it is, your wine, but now it becomes, what would you say? It becomes almost like a serving platter, it becomes a pitcher, something you can pour out of, something you can take out of, something you could scoop out of. And now it has a new usage, there's a new dimension to this large barrel. So the Mishnah is telling us you're allowed to cut the top off the kli. You're allowed to open up the barrel as long as your kavana is what? Only to get the contents. You want to get whatever is inside the barrel, then it's going to be okay. Now, you just opened it up. Why is that not a problem? So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, you're allowed to cut it off with a knife. Le'echol mimena grogros de'in b'mikalkel shum iser b'shabbos. There's no iser of mikalkel b'shabbos. The reason why this is a very exciting and fun sugya is because there's so many different klalim, there's so many different principles that we're going to be coming across. Kilkul is an important term in the context of Shabbos, because kilkul, if you do something in a destructive fashion, that's not going to be considered a malacha on Shabbos. Again, malacha on Shabbos is always productive actions, right? We're building something, we're creating something new, a productive, creative activity. Mikalkel is the antithesis to that. You are breaking something, you're destroying something. And because of that, that's not a problem. There's no Isser on Shabbos because you are being mikalkel. You're destroying this storage container now because you just cut the top off of it and it's not an effective storage container. Tosfos, on the other hand, takes a little bit of an issue with Rashi. Tosfos explains that breaking the top of the barrel is only mutter because the Mishnah is discussing something called a mustaki. A mustaki is a flimsy type of kli, a flimsy type of utensil. It's usually made of or comprised of broken kalim, let's say, that you kind of glued together, almost like imagine like your kid's paper mache project from like third grade or something like that. It's not such a chazak type of kli. And according to Tosos, it's going to be mutter because it's not a significant, it's not a sturdy, it's not a chazak kli. But a full-fledged barrel, for sure, that's going to be an iser de oraisa. So according to Tosfos, well, let's take a step back. We can learn a few different things. First of all, breaking a low-grade utensil or kli on Shabbos is going to be permissible, according to not just Rashi, but also Tosfos. That's number one. Breaking a chazak, a full-fledged, real, heavy-duty kli, that's going to be subject to a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, right? So a low-grade kli, everyone's going to say is okay. A chazak, strong kli, that's a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos. Everybody with me so far? Just want to make sure. Good. Now Rashi points out, though, on the words, ilbovad shelo yischavin lasos kli, as long as your intention was to not turn it into a kli, your intent was really just for whatever is inside the barrel, Rashi warns us, just make sure you didn't have intention. you don't want to make a nice spout or spigot for the stuff to come out of. You don't want to make a nice little hole that it can come out smoothly. That would be another issue. That's related to the issue of tikkun mana, like we said, or asiyas ha-pesach, creating this nice opening. And that's also a potential problem. And according to Tosfos, that's going to be a problem even on a low-grade kli, where we had said you're allowed to open a low-grade kli, a nebuch type of kli. But to create the pesach, that would be a problem if it's a nice opening. Fine, so that's this machlokas Rashi Tosfos with regards to kelim. Again, we're going to go through some of the klalim, we're going to go through the different components of the malachos that we mentioned before, and then we're going to go more towards halach lamaisa. Now there's a big problem though, because Rashi said, you're allowed to smash open a kli, as long as your kavana was not to make it into a functioning kli. Now how does that work? The Ran, one of the Mefarshim, one of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara, comments on Rashi. He's really explaining and coming to defend Rashi's opinion. Because again, Rashi said, there's no mekalkel, there's no issue, right, on Shabbos. Now the problem with that is we generally assume that kilkel, you're right, kilkel is not an iser d'oraisa, because we always said you need to have, you know, a creative, productive activity in order to be assumed to be melacha on Shabbos. There's still an iser d'rabbanon of kilkel. You can't just go around destroying stuff and say, oh, well, I just smashed it and now it's broken. It wasn't productive, so I'm totally off the hook. That's not true. It might not be Asr Midaraisa, but there's still an Isr Durabanan, and we try to, you know, hold all the Durabanans also. So how is that okay? That's question number one of the Ran. And then the Ran also asks that the Gemara in Irvin and Daf Lamedal discusses someone leaving their Eruv, right? The food, right? I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago, that an Eruv is not just a string around the city, but it's also a meal. And I think we in Or Torah and Yeshur, and it's like a box of matzahs and like jarred gefilte fish or something like that. But let's say a person left his Eruv, he left that meal inside a Migdal. A Migdal doesn't just mean a tower. In this context, it's a very, very large closet. But you lost the key to that Migdal. The Gemara is discussing, are you allowed to break open this Migdal or not? And the Gemara says you can't just take a knife and slice open, cut off the top of this Migdal. And that seems to be a contradiction to our Gemara. We have a big barrel. The Gemara said, shover all the mesach chavis. You're allowed to cut open the chavis to get whatever you want, as long as you don't have intent to turn it into a functioning kli. But in the Gemara in Irvin, it says, well, you can't open up this, you can't smash open this closet to get your food. So how do we understand this? So the Ran says two things. He says, first of all, the kilkul issue, doing something in a destructive fashion on Shabbos, that's an Isser Derabanan. But right now for us, what are we talking about? We're talking about getting your dried figs, getting your, I don't know, your favorite Shabbos snack or whatever the case may be, whatever is inside this kli. So that's a tzorech Shabbos of Oneg Shabbos, says the Ran. Right, Oneg Shabbos, one of the first shirim we gave all the way at the beginning of the year. So if it's all about Oneg Shabbos, so we overlook the Isser Derabanan of Kilkel to allow us to fulfill Oneg Shabbos, to allow us to get the Tzorchei Shabbos that's inside the barrel. That's point number one. Point number two, though, says the Ran, is that the Gemara in Irvin is dealing with a Migdal that was a large, large kli, right? Similar to what we just said in Tosos. This Migdal, this closet, was massive. That was a huge kli, and you can't cut that open. That's ridiculous. But a small little kli, like we're dealing with here in the Gemara on Shabbos, so it's flimsy, it's not so significant, and because of that, we're going to say it's okay to kind of just cut it open, smash it open, and take out the contents. So that's a little bit of the Ran explaining Shitas Rashi. Again, what was Rashi's Shita? Let's just go back. We had a Gemara. Excuse me, we had a Mishnah. Let's just make sure we're very clear because I feel like I'm saying a lot. And there haven't been so many questions, which makes me nervous I'm not being so clear because usually everybody has really good questions. Oh yeah, we got one. Mrs. Dordek, what do you got? You got to unmute yourself. Can I unmute you? Let's see. Ask to unmute. You with me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, here we go.
All right, now I may be not understanding completely, but you have a large orange juice carton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not open. I'm sorry, I'm not on there. And it's not open. Can you open up the knob and open it and break open so you can pour it.
Okay, good. So let's use that as an example for now. I don't want to say halacha l'maisa. I don't want to give a final answer, but let's use that as a good example. According to Rashi, Rashi's for sure going to say it's okay. Because Rashi says if you just cut off the top, let's say, right? Let's say like this. Let's say not the new Tropicana cartons that you have a little cap on, but let's say the ones that the cartons that you open.
And then you open up the spout.
Right. So let's say you opened it up all the way, right? Completely, both sides. So it's not just a nice little, you can't save that. You totally opened it up completely. According to Rashi, it's for sure okay, not a problem, because there's no issue of mekalkel on Shabbos. According to Tosos, he would say, well, how big is this kli? It could be that a 64-ounce thing of a Tropicana, like a carton like that, maybe he would say that's not so significant. We're going to have to figure out, we're going to have to really learn how to qualify what's considered something large versus something that's not so significant. But hold on to that thought for just a second, because there is an issue in Hilchos Shabbos called Psik Reisha. Psik Reisha literally means, right, it's a kind of a funny case in Gemara and Ksuvis, where the kids wanted something to play with. They didn't have a tennis ball or anything, so they asked their father to cut the head off a chicken so they can play with the chicken's head. Okay, I guess they didn't have other toys back in the day. But nonetheless, the Gemara's case is the following. The Gemara says, Psik Reisha, right, Velo Yomos, if you cut the head off the chicken, is it not going to die? And we learn from there a principle in Shabbos. The principle for Shabbos is as follows. If you do action A, that will automatically, inevitably lead to result B, we view it as if you did that thing, right? So the classic example, let's say like this. A classic example of a psik reisha. Let's give an example. It's a women's shear. One of the examples we like to give is if you walk in the grass. Not the grass. Let's say you walk in the mud in high heels. Okay? If it was a men's shear, I would say with baseball cleats or something like that, right? Because you're definitely going to make ditches in the ground, right? And that is part of the malach of choresh, of plowing, of readying the field to plant it with seeds, right? So that would be a problem. You're just walking. It's not your intent per se, but because guaranteed, inevitably, as you walk through the muddy field, you're going to be making ditches in the ground, that's a problem. Okay? Everybody with me so far? That's psik reisha. So says some of the Farshei HaGemara, I don't understand. How do you get around the problem of creating a Pesach? It doesn't matter that your intent was just for the food inside. As the Mishnah said, Shlo yischavin lasos kli. You didn't have intent to make it into a kli. But yeah, lamaisa, once you cut off the top of the barrel, aren't you creating a kli? That's a problem. So the Magen Mishnah deals with this. The Magen Mishnah, one of the Mefarshei HaRambam, deals with this and gives an answer that's very similar to the Ran. And that's the following. He says, Tikkun mana, creating a kli or fixing a kli, is dependent upon one's kavana. It's not necessarily an objective action. What does that mean? When you cut the top off this barrel, what's your kavana? If I froze, I said, why'd you just do that? So you'd say very, very simply, well, you want what's inside the barrel. You want the food. So says the Magen Mishnah that it doesn't matter what your intent was. Excuse me, it only matters what your intent was in this context of tikkun mana, of potentially making a kli, and we don't necessarily look at it in an objective fashion. So as long as you don't have kavanah for making it a Pesach, for making up, making this opening in the barrel, it would be okay. Now, you could also, if you're thinking about it, you can also open it up in a way that doesn't make it such a good kli, right? So if you think about it, if you open it from the sides, right, to quickly grab it out, but let's say we're not talking about a liquid, right? Let's talk about, I don't know, a box of...
potatoes.
Say it again?
Potatoes.
Potatoes, a box of potatoes. I was going to say cereal, but yeah, all the same. If you open it from the side, so it can all fall out on the side. That's not such a great container for your food, but it's a great way to get to the food you want. That would be a great workaround. So let's just understand, these are two very, very important Mara Makomos in the sugya of Bona and Soser, and in general, but specifically for opening up a package or something like that on Shabbos. The Magen Mishnah is telling you that it's all about Kavana. If you are Machavein for the contents of the package. If all you care about is what's inside, so then it'll be totally okay. And the Ran is coming to explain Rashi, who had said that there's no isser, there's no issue of mekalkel on Shabbos on a Dirabanan level because it's Litzorche Shabbos. Again, what's your Kavana? You want the insides of the package. You want to get the content. So we're not so concerned that it's a destructive action, which is generally an Isser Dirabanan, because we have the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It's Tzorche Shabbos. And because of that, it's going to be okay. Now, as Mrs. Rebitz and Dordek Shlita asked a second ago, how do we paskin? Am I allowed to open up the what? Can I open up the OJ? Can I open it up? What's going on? So we have a machlokes, let's say Rashi, in parentheses, the Ran, who is explaining Rashi, and Tosfos. So who else would we look to? We take a look at the Rambam. And the Rambam tells us, he doesn't quote the case of Mustaki. He doesn't say, oh, it has to be a flimsy case, like Tosfos said. He kind of just says he doesn't distinguish between a strong, sturdy kli versus a flimsy, lame sort of kli. He just says, very similar to the Ran, I just want to read you his words. He says the following: Shover adam esachavis leechol mimenu grogros. A person can break open a kli in order to eat the contents. Ubovash lo yischavin lasos kli. As long as your kavanah is not to create a utensil, a vessel, a container, it would be totally okay. And the Rif paskins like this as well. So we have Rashi, the Ran, Rambam, and the Rif. Now, if you are the Shulchan Aruch, you have the Rambam and the Rif, and you have the Ran and Rashi on one side, and Tosfos on the other side. Generally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch is going to follow the Rambam and the Rif. So what does he do? Very interestingly, he paskins against the Rambam and the Rif. He doesn't hold of that. And he says, if it's a kli shalem, if it's a chazak, a sturdy, formidable kli, so then it's going to be usher to open, even in a way that makes it not so nice. Even when you don't have a nice Pesach yafeh, you don't have a nice spout or anything like that, if it's a strong kli, it's going to be a problem. Now, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, on his glosses on the Shulchan Aruch, goes ahead and says, I don't understand. This doesn't seem to make sense. The Shulchan Aruch is against the Ran, he's against the Rambam, he's against the Rif. The Rashba also is in that camp. And because of that, the Gra concludes his words, V'chein ha'ikr, seemingly to imply that the halacha should really be in accordance with the Rambam, the Rif, the Ran, and the Rashba, that you can open up these packages on Shabbos if your kavana is for the contents. Okay? So now, one of the modern day applications of this would be, let's say the orange juice container, or let's say a Amazon package that comes to you, right? How do you define a nice opening? How are you able to open such a thing? Again, we're not going to answer that yet. I just want to kind of go through the different components of the question first, and next week we're going to get more halacha lamaisa. So fine, so that's a little bit bonus soser in Asiyas HaPesach. Everybody with me up until here? Some thumbs up? Some shaking? Okay, good, awesome. Now, the next malacha that we want to deal with is the malacha of Korea. I think my Zoom can still go for as long as you want, although it might turn off at 8:40, but we'll see how it goes. If it shuts off at 8:40, I'll see everybody next week, and if not, then great. So the Mishnah Shabbos lists tearing or ripping Korea as one of the 39 Malachos. Now, where in the world does ripping come up in the context of Melechas HaMishkan? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that sometimes little, what are they called? Moths, right? The little bugs that make holes in your sweaters. So those little guys would also make holes on the curtains in the Urios of the Mishkan. So what would they do? How would they fix those holes? So they would tear it a little bit more on top and below the hole, and then they were able to sew it and close that hole and make it a little bit nicer, let's say, right? Fine. So again, the craftsmen, they would cut below, they cut below and above, and then they would sew the fabric together, and that would be how they would do Korea in the Mishkan. So we see from there that Korea is going to be an Isser Midda Oraisa. Now, Korea is one of these malachos, it's al-minas. Because tearing, what kind of action is tearing? Everybody, I'm sure, is saying it, but everybody's on mute. Tearing is a destructive action. Now, destructive, that's it. Our guard should go up. How can you tell me that's a malacha? We know malacha is productive, creative activity. So the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us that it's only going to be asher midaraisa if it's al-minas lit for, if it's on conditioner, so that you'll be able to stitch something up after. But tearing, simply to be destructive, is going to be an Isser Midrabanan. Now, there are ways to tear something and not sew it up, and it will be productive. The Rambam quotes another Gemara. I think this is a Gemara on Shabbos, Kuf Hei Amud Beis, at the top, going further down the page, if I remember correctly, where the Gemara says, if you rip it away, again, you're not going to sew it back together, but it accomplishes something productive. Let's say you're angry, right? And you want to tear it, just to let out your anger, let the steam out. And you rip your shirt. And after you tear your shirt, you feel a little bit better. You got that anger out. So that would actually be a productive kriya, because it accomplished something for you. You're not that upset anymore. And because of that, you can affect korea midareisa without the tefira, without the sewing up afterwards. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Mishnayos that we mentioned, that ripping for a productive purpose is going to be asur midareisa. And again, the Mishnah Berurah explains that ripping can be asur midareisa even if you don't re-sew it at the end, if it's accomplishing something productive for you. Now, ripping for the sake of ripping, again, not a productive ripping, not to get your anger out, but let's say you just tore something for the, you know, because you tore it. So that's still going to be an isur derabanan, right? So just to be very clear, you still can't just go around ripping things without any reason, no rhyme or reason. It's still going to be an isur derabanan. And if that's the case, so maybe we're kind of stuck when it comes to, what's a good example of this? Your challah rolls, right? The six packs of challah rolls that they sell in North Shore, they sell a jewel, whatever it is, right? So many people just tear it open. Tearing, isn't that an isur derabanan? How can that be? So we have to go back to the mission that we mentioned before about the barrel of dates, because that was okay. We said you're allowed to tear open the barrel of dates on Shabbos to get the dates, to get the dried figs inside. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us that tearing doesn't apply to this barrel or this basket of grapes. The term used in the Gemara in that Shabbos is choslos or chotlot, and the Gemara there says that it's okay to open up this large choslos shel grogros or shel tamarim. You're allowed to open up this large basket or barrel of dates. Now, that barrel was made, if I remember correctly, from parts of the tree. And the idea was that it was a relatively flimsy container. Since it was a relatively flimsy container, the Beralacha explains that opening it is similar to cracking a nut or peeling a banana, where korea doesn't apply. No one would ever say that you're chayiv for korea, for opening up a banana on Shabbos. That's how you get to the contents, right? That's how you get to your banana. There's no issue there. There's no isser of korea there, right? So it can't be that it's going to be asur nisur korea to open up the package on Shabbos because it's a flimsy container. Now that gets back to our larger question that Mrs. Dordek was asking. How do we define what's a flimsy container? What's something chazak? What's something strong? Is an Amazon package going to be considered flimsy, or is it considered something very sturdy? Many people reuse their Amazon packages. In fact, that's how you return a lot of the stuff to Amazon, by sending it back in the very same package, and that would seem to imply that it's relatively sturdy. Now, you might distinguish, right? We know how they have the brown, the cardboard boxes, but they also send things in the white plastic, what's it called? Those little bags, I don't know what the right word is. But the idea is maybe we can distinguish between flimsy versus sturdy in the packaging from Amazon. Again, we'll discuss this as we move forward. But it's important to note that Rav Shlomo Zalman halacha lemaisa holds that when one tears open a package of food, so it's included in the category of choslos, and there's no isser, there's no problem of tearing on Shabbos. Again, the modern day application, Rav Shlomo Zalman is mekel, but packages and wrappers, paper bags, a bag of chips, things like that, those are all going to be included. Opening up the plastic of a cereal box, all those types of issues are going to be related and fall under this question of korea. But again, we have a big heter here, because they did korea seemingly when it came to the barrels or the packages, the containers of figs and dates, and it wasn't an issue there at all. So far we spoke about bonet, we spoke about soser, we spoke about making a Asiyas, a Pesach, that sort of spout, that you don't want to have a smooth, a nice spout. And we spoke about Korea. Now there's an Isser, or there's an issue, potentially, of Mechatech. Mechatech is cutting. Now Korea was tearing. Mechatech is cutting. The Mishnah in Shabbos lists Mechatech as one of the 39 Malachos. And where did it come up in the Mishkan? So some of the Yerio, some of the curtains were made out of leather, but they needed to be precisely cut, a very, very specific size. And the Mishnah Brura, well, before the Mishnah Brura, Mechatech is anytime you cut something to a very specific or particular size. It doesn't need to be big, it doesn't need to be small, it doesn't need to be paper, it could be almost any material, even wood or metal. If you're cutting to a specific size, that's how we define the Isser of Mechatech, Melechas Mechatech on Shabbos. Now, it's important to note that there needs to be concern. Ah, okay, very good. Like toilet paper, where there's a big discussion about toilet paper. We'll talk about that in just a second. I'm happy you asked that in the chat. It needs to be done to the exact measurement. It needs to be very, very specific. But cutting without intent to create a specific measurement is not a violation of mechatech, right? And the iser mechatech doesn't apply to foods, right? So let's say you have, I don't know, imagine you're cutting a pizza into 8 slices. So even if you're trying to get, right, you know how like kids will argue, I want the bigger piece, I want the bigger piece, and you momish cut to make sure every single piece of the cake or the pie is the exact same, there's no iser of mechatech there, because it's food. The iser mechatech does not apply to foods according to the Mishnah Brura. Now, a great question was asked with regards to toilet paper, as a big discussion in the poskim, ripping toilet paper, is that an iser of mechatech? Now, it could be korea, it could be that you're tearing, and you're tearing for productive use. But is there an iser of mechatech? So I actually saw once, maybe I heard this once, I don't remember where, I need to double check, so don't quote me on this, Bli Nedar, I'll check it out for next week. But when it comes to toilet paper, a lot of people don't actually care if it's on, I mean, a person might want to make sure it's on the perforated lines or anything like that, but you're not actually like concerned how many inches long is the specific square of toilet paper, or is it exactly on, no one cares, right? So it could be that the manufacturer put the perforations there, Litova, it helps us out, but it's not necessary, let's say, for the ripping of the toilet paper, and because of that, maybe it's okay. That's in fact what Rav Shlomo Zalman holds. I have this in my notes here, maybe that's why I remembered it a little bit. He holds that if you are precisely cutting material along the manufacturer's predetermined perforations, but you don't care about the exact size, it's going to be okay. So besides toilet paper, let's say, you know how you sometimes buy packs of yogurt? I know this for like kids' yogurts or baby yogurts. They'll sometimes come in a pack of 6 and they're connected at the top, but they're little perforations to break them apart. Ah, so you're cutting against, you're breaking it off on the perforation, so it's going to be this nice little square for the yogurt. Yeah, but you don't actually care if it's squared at the corners or not. You just want to have one yogurt. You want to open up all 6 yogurts on one shot. And that, he holds, is in a violation. There's no iser of mechatech in that context. Let's just do one more. And that is the iser of mochik. Mochik means to erase. The Mishnah tells us that another couple, another pair of malacha, is kosev and mochik. Kosev means to write. Mochik means to erase. We're going to touch on this in a couple weeks when we talk about birthday cakes on Shabbos, so to not get too involved in the iser of mochik. But the Mishnah tells us that when Bnei Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, they would, again, we said they would dismantle and disassemble the Mishkan, and then they would rebuild it, reassemble it, in the next place that Hashem told them to stop and build the Mishkan. Now, they made small marks on the krushim, on the beams of the Mishkan. Imagine like when you build a sukkah, right? So depending on what kind of sukkah you have. But if you have panels and they go in specific spots, so you might number them 1, 2, 3 or Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet to make sure that they're all in the right spot. So that's what Bnei Yisrael would do. They'd make these small little marks on the Karshei HaMishkan, on the beams and the panels of the Mishkan, to make sure that they did it in the proper order. However, if one of the Krushim was accidentally or mistakenly marked, they would erase it and they would put the correct number or marking on the different Karshei HaMishkan. And that was the source for erasing the Mishkan, and one of the sources of kosev, of writing in the Mishkan as well. Now, again, the Gemara tells us that mochik, erasing, is only a problem if it's on condition to, if it's al menas lichtov. If you erase for the sake of erasing, it's not going to be an iser deraisa of mochik. It needs to be al menas. It needs to be al menas lichtov in that area. You need to have the intention to write in that exact same spot. So let's just take a step back for a second, because we did a lot. We introduced opening packages and opening containers, bottles, and things of that nature on Shabbos. We listed 5 or 6 different potential issues when it comes to opening those things. And because there are so many issues involved, the poskim are machmir, or at least they strongly recommend or advise opening all packages before Shabbos. However, if one forgot to open them before Shabbos, Or if opening specific packages on Shabbos will greatly enhance one's Oneg Shabbos or Tzorchei Shabbos. So then the post can discuss permissible ways of opening the packages on Shabbos. We're going to get more into Halacha Lamaisa, the nitty gritty next week. We're going to go through all different types of containers and packages, God willing. But I wanted to give us like a basic overview of the different things that apply. And again, as Rabbi Reis mentioned to us in the Chabura, the Ran and the Magen Mishnah are two very big Mara Makomos for us to keep in our back pockets. The Ran telling us that there's no problem of Kilkul on Shabbos because it's Litzorchei Shabbos, it's for our Oneg Shabbos, and you want to open up that container. And B, the Magen Mishnah said that if your kavana is in order to have the contents of that container, so then the fact that you made it into a functional kli doesn't really matter. But Reis said when you have those two things in the back of your mind, you already have a little bit of room to work with. So we're going to hold it here. I know I left a lot of people hanging because we didn't get to exact halacha l'maisa cases, but I think it's important to have the background information first. And God willing, next week we'll go through many more halacha l'maisa cases. Okay, so we'll hold it here. And everybody have a fantastic rest of their week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye.